I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour at Ertens Regular Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your hump days are off to a good start. Everybody get their hump on today.
I don't think I feel dumber than when my headphones come off mid-segment.
Yeah, it's not a good feeling.
It can happen, like, if we weren't on YouTube, I wouldn't care as much,
no.
But it makes me look like an absolute buffoon on YouTube.
People are saying, can we get Thomas Tyner on the line for Aloha Aloha? And unanimously supporting of Aloha.
The emphasis on the ha.
Aloha.
I've always said Aloha. I live in Aloha.
Maybe I'm just saying it too slow. I think that's
you're really putting an emphasis on the H part, whether it's
sure,
ha
I'm trying.
Or,
I'm making sure people don't go ha.
I just say Aloha.
You got to end with a
silent.
You got to go down. You got to go down with the It's not up with the Does that make sense?
I live there. I don't know what to tell you.
By the way,
I used to go to high school games at Aloha High School because Tyner was there. They'd be like, "Hey, welcome to Aloha High School."
37 touchdowns in one game. I heard. Pretty good player.
He's pretty good. Pretty good football player.
Pretty good player.
Yeah.
One of the rare Duck Beeves. One of the rare him, Atticus Sappington.
All-time top five Duck Beeves.
It's him, Atticus Sappington.
Yeah.
We have a guy on defense, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head, who I think registered for you guys for a year and
yeah,
then transferred in.
You have a current guy.
I can't remember his name.
Yep.
Is he the only one that's ever gone Oregon to Oregon State?
Yes, it usually goes the opposite.
Usually, I get the other way makes
right?
more sense.
Because if you're pretty good at Oregon State, Oregon might poach you.
Hey,
take
we need
you
a
away.
Kicker. Right. Come win us an Iowa game.
We
buddy.
Need to win at Iowa.
Come on down.
Yeah, we need an Atticus Sappington here. A duck beef. Platypus award.
Not a lot of platypi
top
out there, man.
Top five platypi.
I only got three. Maybe there's more names in that I can't think of. Mike Doc Parker, technically a platypi.
That's a platypi.
He's number one. If we're being honest, number one on the big board.
Mike Barrett.
Yeah, Mike Barrett's a bit of a platypi.
In Albany.
Yeah, he's a Beaver fan, but he worked for Oregon doing sidelines and stuff.
Yep, and he's famously
broadcast.
In the pick six. Kenny Ween's going to score, jumping off the ground.
One of the most famous plays in Oregon football history.
I mean, Autzen.
Autzen
your entire stadium is named
Autzen.
After a Beav.
Autzen himself.
Autzen's got to be
that
a top five platypi.
Bastard Austin.
So let's go. Mike Doc Parker.
Okay, one. Autzen's got to be two then.
Autzen's got to be two.
Then we go Barrett probably.
You going Barrett?
I think I would go Barrett over Atticus Sappington.
He won you a game at Iowa.
He did. It was a moment. It was a nice moment.
What's Mike Barrett's best thing he did at Oregon?
He's in the pick. Kenny Wynn's going to score.
There's 50,000 people in that
he's
pick.
He's there
brother.
Yelling on the sideline that he scored. He
Get
confirmed it from the sideline on the field that did you know Kenny Wheaton scored?
I don't know if I have him in my top five.
Okay, he's not your top five?
Well, how long was he the radio guy for the sidelines?
That I don't know.
Couldn't have been that long.
I don't know the answer to that. We'll have to get Barrett on the line.
I think I go Sappington, Tyner.
Did Tyner do anything for you guys?
Mike Kavanaugh.
Mike Kavanaugh's another good one.
Kavanaugh's
dude, he's just flip-flopping every other year.
He's like, who needs an offensive line assistant?
I don't feel
or
like moving.
Coach.
I'm not leaving this.
I just want to live in Junction City
for the rest of my life.
Mike Kavanaugh is just going to stay in Junction City
that
forever.
That is a great poll. He's got to be top
so
three.
So Cav, Sappington,
yeah.
Mike Doc Parker, Autzen, and what was our first one?
I thought Doc was number one, wasn't he?
Damn it.
Who else are we missing? Oh, the defensive player whose name I can't remember.
No, we're not putting that guy in our top
Hot
five.
Hot him up, Sikorsky. That's good right
can't
there.
Can't even name him.
Get
he can't be
out of here. Player. Hey, babe, do me a favor. Tighten up.
Yeah.
He's back, baby. Did Thomas Tyner do anything?
At Oregon State?
At Oregon State?
Not much.
Let's see.
He did not do much. You don't have to look it up. I'm telling you.
2 years at Oregon. He only had 64 carries, 297 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... He's one of the best high school players I've ever seen with my eyes, while also I remember in real time saying, boy, those offensive line holes are pretty good for a kid who's fast.
Yeah.
We shouldn't overlook that part of it.
He's all-time great Oregon high school football player. There's no doubt about
that. He's an all-time
legend. He will be in that category for a long time. We jokingly asked, do you know who Brian Keefe is the head coach of in the NBA?
Have you figured it out yet?
I'm not going to Google it.
Okay. Brandon, did you Google it or do you got to guess?
Nope, I'm being
I'm just
going
to guess. Like, I'm trying to think of teams who I have no clue who the head coach is of. Like, I can't tell you who the head coach of the Wizards is.
Yeah.
Jazz, I have no idea. I don't know who the head coach of the Nets is.
You don't know the Jazz one? He's gotten like 4 extensions during the tanking. It's been bizarre. He's a younger coach. Everybody tells me he's amazing. His team's never good.
I can't tell you.
But every NBA insider, largely because he probably leaks crap to them,
the Cokehead was the last Utah coach, I could tell you.
Oh, really?
That's the last one that I remember. So we got Nets were guests, Wizards were guests, Utah was guests.
Yep.
Somebody guessed Pelicans.
Yep.
Somebody just said, who the hell is Brian Keefe? Never heard of him before. and another Nets guest. Do we care to, will you please?
I will tell you who he is.
Help us out here.
What job does a guy named Brian Keefe have as a career to you?
Because
I think the weed shop one's a pretty good pull.
Weed shop's pretty good. Yeah, I could see him working at an enterprise rent-a-car. They give you the tools. Hey, Brian here. You need a midsize? What are you looking for? You need me, man?
They call me Big Keefe.
They call me the Big Keefer around here.
I'm Big Keefe.
I've been running this show for years.
As somebody who worked at Enterprise
Step
in college.
Step on into Keefer's office, all right?
That's a valid pull
Let
by
Daddy
you.
Let Daddy Keefer help you out here, all right?
Brian Keefe is the head coach of the Washington Wizards.
Washington, it had to be one of those teams. Tanking teams. This was year one for him, I'm assuming?
That's a great, I don't know.
You don't know? Okay.
I think so.
You knew, though, who Brian Keefe was the head coach of?
Yeah, and it's okay. Really stupid why I knew that.
Okay, I was just, we're just checking math here. Brian Keefe, head coach of the Washington Wizards. He showed up on the... It's not his first year, or he's not the head coach of the Wizards? Tell me he's not the head coach of the Wizards.
He's the head coach of the Wizards.
God, that would have been really funny.
It's his third season.
It's his third year? He's been there for 3 years?
I think he took over for... Who was the coach before Brian Keefe of Washington? Was it Eddie Jordan?
I don't know.
Was it Don Nelson Jr.?
Last time I've watched a Wizards game, man.
I'm not kidding. Can you name the last head coach of the Wizards?
No, I have no idea.
Because he took over in 23-24. He was 8-31.
Holy hell. So he was the interim guy, and they just were like, yeah, whatever. Give Keith
the
job.
They rolled it over because he was fine, I guess, at 8-31.
Well, also, you're tanking. Why the hell are you paying for an NBA
the
head coach
year,
if you're
was
tanking?
Next year, he was 18-64.
Is the Kiefer going to survive the offseason? This is one of my bigger now offseason storylines. Will he be back for another run? They got Anthony Davis and Trae Young now. They're ready to win.
I think the bigger question is he going to beat Chauncey's winning percentage at this point?
Who's got a lower? Well, if it was the Blazers organization, we'd give him an extension.
By
That's
the
how
way,
we operate.
Do you know who the head coach was? It was Wes Unseld Jr.
That was the last coach, huh?
Do you know who was coach before that?
Never would have guessed it.
Scotty Brooks.
Lead assistant under old Chance for a while.
Yeah.
He was our shadow head coach.
I think he's with the Lakers now. I see him during timeouts with Redick once in a while.
He said, Dirt and Sprague, the true platypus boys. You're right. Yeah. You're damn right.
The GM says that Keefe will return as the 26-27 head coach.
Okay. Well, I mean, when your winning percentage is 212, you got to keep rolling it back.
He's almost a Chance territory.
Good Lord.
He's encroaching on that number. I got some random oddities to get to a little bit later on in the show. We'll get to Statter Story here in a moment.
He looks like somebody at the gym that tells you your protein intake needs to be increased.
Got a protein bar you're taking over.
He looks like the guy at the gym.
You on your creatine? Taking a creatine?
That is flirting beyond the comfortable line with his personal trainer because he's absolutely miserable at home.
He's wearing gloves to work out with. Get a callus on
with
your hand.
With no fingers.
Fingers out. Fingers out gloves.
Look at him. Have you Google imaged him?
No, I haven't looked him up yet.
Google image him. He looks like somebody wearing like naked gloves, like where the fingers are out the...
He absolutely does, dude. He 100% fits that profile.
He looks like somebody with no muscle definition that tells you your form is incorrect.
One of the skinny people with a pot belly, too. Like, how does that body shape work? Everything else, like, if you just took your belly out, you're in perfectly good shape. And then you look at your belly, and how does that? I don't compute.
He has that vibe.
How do you design that kind of body,
poor
man?
Poor Brian Keefe. We're just out here bagging him in Portland.
We're torching the Keefe, man. Last thing to get to in the final hour, Statter Story coming up in a little bit. I do, though, want to get to and allow the proper allotted time.
Yeah.
Because I jokingly said it, and I don't mean this to be tongue-in-cheek, because it's serious. These are the only series that I care about, if I'm being honest, in the second round. Not that I'm not going to watch. I had the Pistons-Cavs game on last night in the second half, and it was compelling. Like Cleveland made a little bit of a comeback there, down by double digits, and they sniffed around a bit. Detroit ends up pulling it out. I had the entire Laker-Thunder game on. It's an appreciating LeBron kind of thing, and the Lakers held tough. They just were really bad offensively in the second half, and not having Luka kills them. These are the two, though. Like, these are like, all right, what time's the game start? What time do I need to be in front of the TV? Yeah. All right, 4 o'clock. Okay, I want to watch that. 6:30, okay, I want to watch that. We also have, I think we're getting rid of the double dip of the game in terms of simultaneously playing them. So you got one out for the other tonight. But I'm excited, man, and I don't really know what to expect. Like, I went into Philly and New York thinking this is going to be the best series of the second round, and I don't want to back off that take after one game. Mm-hmm. They're a 7.5-point dog again tonight, so you don't have the Game 7 hangover argument in their back pocket anymore. And then in Minnesota and San Antonio, dude, like, in terms of what to expect the rest of the way, I think any thought I have of or any feeling I have on that series is out the window. Minnesota wins game one. I love some of the stuff they did. I think they can get even more from Anthony Edwards as he comes back from the injury. And will the youth questions linger for San Antonio? Like, I'm psyched for these matchups tonight. I think both these series are still going to be good. And it's going to be a really fun night of basketball in my mind.
The Sixers-Knicks result. I mean, look, it can get out of hand in the NBA when you're not playing well.
The Knicks have had three straight games where they've held a 30-point lead in the playoffs. I think they're the first team in NBA history to do that.
I mean, they are the runaway favorite to win the East. If you were to bet anybody else, you're doing it just simply out of odds and value. You're not doing it out of straight confidence.
That's why I did Philly.
The Knicks should be in the NBA playoffs. Timothée Chalamet.
Finals.
Finals, yeah. Yes. Timothée Chalamet and Ben Stiller have to have their calendar blocked out at this point for when the home finals games would be. That being said, I don't know if game one is truly going to be representative of what the series is. Whereas I think tonight, what's the spread? Is it 7.5?
7.5 for tonight for game two. Same identical as game one. I took the Sixers plus 7.5, and that certainly did not pan out.
I hammer the Sixers tonight because much like the Atlanta series, I just feel like the Knicks have these, as much as they can do what they did in game one, they can be really stupid and go cold and have nothing happen for them in the fourth quarter. And they leave the door open. So because of that, and because it becomes so ball dominant with Jalen, if their offense isn't humming.
And he was so good in game one.
Exactly. I would take the Sixers out of just keeping that closer. They're not, that turn from game seven emotionally, I really thought that was a big deal. It's a mental enough challenge to go through a game seven. On the road, by the way.
Saturday night, jump on a bird, fly straight to New York, Monday night, game one.
And it's not a far travel. It's just more the turn from what you were doing to where you're going. And so I think game two now, they're a little more settled. And if the Knicks end up being a wagon in game two and blowing it out, then all of this is a moot point. But
yeah, if they win big tonight, I think I'm not going to let my opinion on the series go yet. If they win similarly in game two that they did game one,
I'm changing it.
I think hope's gone.
This is a 5-game series at best. But I'll allow, the maxis, the edge comes, kind of see what Embiid is, all of that stuff to play out and be a game two. And maybe the Knicks have a wonky second half, fourth quarter, second quarter, whatever it ends up being, where their offense completely disappears. The Garden gets uneasy.
Yeah.
And oh my God, Maxey's hit a big step back shot.
And then you go to the nightcap in San Antonio where you get Wembanyama, just a really bad offensive game, some frustrations out of the game for people on Minnesota side, by the way, coming out saying, man, it felt like a lot of those playoff record blocks were sure goaltendings or fouls. Are we going to start calling these? Their offense bogged down late in the game. It was a back-and-forth great one, but Minnesota, you imagine if they can only get stronger as the series goes on, because one, they might get healthier. They might get some other players back.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Edwards coming off the bench, what did he play, 28 minutes? So less than 30 minutes in game one, so does he feel a little bit better maybe going into game two, where he can take on a bigger role throughout the course of the game? And when you win game one and you flip that pressure, man, it's like you're going into tonight and all the heat is on San Antonio. I thought our buddy Gundy brought up a great point the other day where he picked Minnesota to win the series. And one of the reasons he picked Minnesota to win the series was because he feels like the perceived eventual matchups never happen in the NBA.
And it almost never goes the way. Like, think about the LeBron-Kobe campaign.
Oh, it's going to be
puppets.
A finals. It's going to have to be. LeBron-Kobe's going to be a finals.
LeBron-Kobe, finally, what we want. Rodgers-Brady.
Yes, I mean, never happened.
Sports is tough with the projecting of who we think's going to be there.
And they thought, or we all thought, I should say, oh, man, Thunder and Spurs. When the Spurs looked the way they did against us, the Thunder, I mean, it's Phoenix, whatever, right. But they're the defending champs. Like, it's going to be a great conference finals, and here comes Minnesota stealing game one. Like, it's a unique spot for that young team to find themselves in, maybe not the right word, but losing game one at home.
Yeah.
And now you're going in, it's like, dude, you fall down 2-0 and you got to go back to Minnesota? They're going to make you howl back there. Well, so a lot of pressure on them tonight.
I'll give a lot of credit to Gundy for saying it, but I'm going to raise my hand here on the show. I thought this was the best series.
You did, going in.
Now, it's only a game one. We'll see what game two gives us. If Wemby's going to go for 30 points, and and be a little more in control offensively and set the tone on that end. I'll be curious to see how the refs officiate his blocks, goaltends, because he had 12 blocks. That's stellar from a stat point. Half of them were goaltends.
Finch was like, dude, you take four of those away, that's 8 points, and we win the game by double digits.
Well, and that, what does that feel like, right? Like, I think Fox is going to play better, and we don't know what's going to happen with Dosunmu. So if he gets it to go, dude, Minnesota's live on the money line. Not points, money line. Because this is the element of the playoffs we had talked about going into it. Now, we wondered if it would happen against us in Portland.
It did not.
And it did not. The age thing, the deeper you go, and also the more physical it's getting, right? SGA, we talked about earlier, he's flopping and flailing like a fish. He's not getting all those calls now.
No.
You can be more physical with Wemby, and they are. They're being incredibly physical with him. Wear and tear, wear him down. He's playing heavier minutes. That's going to be a tough thing for him to combat. I'll be curious to see if their point guard gives it a go. If he is, if he's good, I put this live Timberwolves money line, but I think this is going to be a series. I thought it'd be a good series.
Yeah, go long.
Game one produced. You give me anything close to what game one was here in game two, and I'm super stoked.
The only thing we're missing now is the double dip of good games. That's what we need tonight, because Philly-New York game one sucked, and then game one Minnesota-San Antonio, awesome. Now we need the double dip to chip. Give me two good games tonight, I'm psyched.
There's nothing worse in any sport than when you just have dud big games.
Oh, it sucks.
Like, the game sevens over the weekend
was horrible.
Terrible.
It was horrible. Saturday night's game was fun. Boston-Philly was a fun game, but the two on Sunday, those games were terrible. I'm with you there. I'm excited for both of them. I love coming up with a bet on the show. So yesterday we gave you the over of Avs and Wild.
Yeah, and it hit the end.
4.4 seconds left, empty net goal. Are we barking tonight?
I'm barking.
Now, are we barking extreme, or are we doing a...
Give me a second here.
Are we going plus 7.5, plus 9.5, or are we going money line? What's a money line parlay?
I'll tell you right now. So, NBA playoffs.
Sixers and T-Wolves, dubs.
If you go money line Sixers, money line Wolves, it's plus 1294. I'm going to go plus 7.5 with the Sixers and money line Wolves, and that's plus 700.
Those are solid odds, too.
I think Minnesota can do it, man. I'll say this, too. I think people, basketball fans, sports fans, who are just now caring about basketball because nothing else going on.
Hey, did you know the NBA started?
Hey, here you go. It's after Christmas. I do. What I think is the takeaway is interesting is it's fascinating to watch people hate Wemby.
Yeah.
He had some comments. He's like, you know, I need to be better. And he's like, well, our offensive playmakers weren't shooting the ball well. He's putting himself in this, but like, we're taking little snippets.
Feels good. Let the hate flow through you.
And it's like, dude, you're 7'6". You should be dominating.
Stop
complaining. Why are you scoring 11 points? Stop complaining.
Amen, online
and
trolls.
I'll add this. I do think people are right. Minnesota's kind of a perfect team to root for.
They are.
They talk ass and back it up.
They do.
They play incredible team defense. They've got a certified bucket-getting superstar who talks so much crap in the moment in your face in Anthony Edwards. They're just, their environment's hostile and loud. And
yes, it is.
Just, they're kind of a perfect team to root for in the playoffs.
I love a team that can run their mouth and back it up. That's the fun part. And they can do it, man.
It's great.
So tonight should be a lot of fun. I don't know about money lines, but I'm definitely taking the points with both dogs. We'll see if my balls get a little bit bigger by the end of the show.
If you go that route, you're plus 260.
Plus, okay. I'll take that.
Still over 2-1.
I'll take that. By the way, people texting in, Rich Brooks, an assistant at Oregon State before becoming the head coach at Oregon.
Great poll.
Top five platypi.
Platypi.
Got to go on the list.
So Kavanaugh, Rich Brooks.
Yes, Doc.
Here we go, Doc.
We got some candidates
Watson.
Here. Atticus himself. Let's get to Statter Story, though. You guys got your numbers ready to rock and roll. We'll do that coming up next. 105.1.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
FM The Fan. All right, folks, Statter Story time. A new look Statter Story. Hello, everybody.
It's a new look?
Well, it's a slightly later in the hour than it usually is.
Okay. You
know, things are changing and evolving around here. Let's get to it, though. Statter Story time. Brandon, do we have a Statter Story ready to go?
He's getting the music.
He's down.
He's ready.
Okay, okay. I'm ready.
Okay, I'll go ahead and start this week.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right, you just go ahead. It. You know, let me Jesus take the wheel. You got it, buddy.
It's all you, man.
I'll be Jesus here.
All right.
Your number, ladies and gentlemen, is 14. 14. Is it? Now, bear with me on the stats. A little long-winded.
Oh, God. Of course.
Remember our guy, remember our dominatrix guy from JP Morgan who ended up being the liar and it didn't happen?
There's been some follow-ups to this, so I'm not...
Okay.
Okay.
Is it the number of weeks he took off lying about the death of his father to his company? Because that also happened.
14 weeks?
Or...
Wow.
Is it the number of games below 500 that USC is against ranked teams in the college football playoff era? For those wondering, that since 2014, so the last 12 years, that's when the CFP era began. Is it the number of weeks off or the number of games below 500 against ranked teams in the last 12 years?
I saw a deposition update on this that, like, he maintains that she took a taxi and she wanted him to get in with her and it was raining outside and she was talking about how...
Say it. How what?
Well, wet outside.
It's
it
very wet.
Was.
It's raining outside. Yeah. Yeah. He's still doubling down. He's still going down that hole.
I'm just saying, like, yeah, there's just developments going on with it. I'm going to go stat.
You're going to go stat?
Stat.
Okay. Brandon?
Also going stat.
Double stat. Hold on. I got to get on the right page here. Give me a second. Give me a second.
Yes.
You are both.
Yes.
Let me double ding you.
There we go.
Yeah. USC, this is a fun graphic to look at. Was put out. So it's against powerful schools records against ranked opponents in the CFP era. So since 2014, some funny oddities in here. Bama, not shockingly, 62-17 in that era against ranked teams. Ohio State, 2 on the list, 45-14. Then it's Georgia, 46-22. Oregon came in, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th. They're 29-24.
Okay.
Washington, not far behind, 24-22. USC, 19-33 in that time. The bottom two are going to make you chuckle. Rutgers has not beaten a ranked team. They are 0-37 since 2014 against ranked opponents.
Wow.
And our wonderful friends out in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Oh, no.
Are number two on the list. No. They are 2-34 against ranked teams since 2014.
Now, is one of those against your team?
Yes.
It had to have been, right?
I think they were both ranked. Mike Riley wins, and Oregon was definitely ranked when that game. It was ranked when the game happened, not at the end of the year.
The coach they've hated debatably the most is Mike Riley.
He's the only one with a win over a ranked team. Frost had zero, and Matt Rhule has zero so far.
Wow, that's crazy.
That was funny. It's a graphic you could go look through. It's a funny time. Yeah, so this guy faked another layer of the story. It came out that he lied about the death of his father to the company because he wanted time off. He wanted bereavement leave. And he ended up taking 3 months off, so 12 weeks, and used that time to prepare his bombshell lawsuit against the gal, his employer, the Post had learned. So this story circulated, and the Post called, the New York Post called the guy's dad. It was like, hey, are you alive? And he was like, yeah. What's up? And they're like, do you know your son lied about? And he was like, oh, no, I didn't know anything about that. He's my son, though. He's a good guy.
Yeah,
he's a good guy.
He's alive. He had no idea. Lying about your father's death to get 12 weeks off of work. Hell of a time.
I'll go next. Cool. I'll save the best Brandon for last.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Your number is 2-4.
2-4.
2-4.
2-4. 2.4, 2-4.
Well, is it...
2.4?
Is it the age in which Ted Turner, RIP, took over for his father's company, Turner Outdoor Advertising? Or is it the ERA of former Brave great and now current Yankee stud, Max Fried, 2.4?
I haven't seen Max Fried pitch. I have no
idea.
He's
had a phenomenal season. Jake loves to, like, throw it in my face as if we don't have the best record in baseball.
Yeah, you can't throw that one in your face.
Also, like, yeah.
You're better right now.
He had been hurt. He got hurt a lot as a Brave. I'm all right. Good for him.
I'm going to go, like, what are the odds of having an exact 2.4 ERA? 2.40. Maybe this is a bad guess for that reason, that's why it's a good... I'm going to go 24, Ted Turner.
Fair. I'll let you do your guess. I just counter. Give me an example of an ERA.
2.04.
There you go. 2.19.
Yeah.
Why is 2.40 far-fetched?
It seems very on the dot.
Oh, okay.
Very on the dot.
Okay.
I'm looking up his stats. 1.96.
Yeah.
Not 1.90.
Right. Yeah. They're going to show it right here.
5.33. Really last six career games against Cleveland, 5.33.
But that's a specific ERA against one team.
I'm just saying.
Okay, all right.
I will go stat.
Okay, you're going to go stat? Mm-hmm. So it's a...
I go story.
Story? Yeah. All right. Your logic's wrong, but you're right. I hate that about you. Max Fried has a 2.39 ERA.
It's my point. Gotcha. It's one of the odds. 2.40. Look up ERAs right now and how many are on a.
There's
on
two pitchers. Dot. Parker Messick for Cleveland is a 2.4 ERA, and okay. Shota Imananamananamananamananam.
So there's only two.
How do you say this guy's name?
I don't know.
You're good at these.
The Cub guy?
Yeah, the other Brandon Federer.
Is it the Cub player?
Yeah,
the Cub
Shota. Pitcher?
Yeah, I don't know.
Am I saying that name?
Bob in the YouTube chat, we need your help. Type it out for us slow. You're a Cubs fan.
Imanaga?
Yeah, sure. Imanaga. Yep.
Imanaga?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Both have 2.4 ERAs.
Very rare.
We got Christopher Sanchez, 2.42.
Two. There's a two in there.
I'm just saying. All right. You are right, though.
24 years old, huh?
Ted Turner was 24 years old when he took over his father's billboard company, Turner Outdoor Advertising, after his father died by suicide. Very sad story. He moved to Georgia in the 1960s to manage a southern branch of his father's business. He then turned that and became a media mogul, owning sports franchises in Atlanta like the Braves and the Hawks. He founded TNT, TBS, Turner Classic Movies, one of the underrated channels, I think,
yes,
in cable history.
No doubt.
And Cartoon Network, another underrated channel, especially for people our age.
I know he did the Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Started all in 1996, and then he sold CNN to Time Warner Inc., sold the Bravos in early 2000. He also created a TV series that we need to bring back because we have the dumbest people maybe to ever exist, Captain Planet and the Planeteers. Oh, yeah. Wind! Water!
I went to the CNN headquarters when I was in Atlanta.
Did you?
Yeah.
Why?
It was on accident. I didn't mean to. I was like wandering around a neighborhood and like, hey, that's the CNN. But when you're like a block away and you see the giant letters, you're like, I might as well walk over there and see it.
He also co-founded the Nuclear Threat Initiative, which focused on reducing nuclear threats worldwide.
Oh, okay.
And brought us one of our favorite sports shows maybe to ever exist, Inside the NBA.
Yes. Oh, round of applause.
RIP Ted Turner, man.
Hell of a life.
May not Ted have been a perfect person.
Deal.
No. Nobody is.
Nobody
that's
is.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Captain Planet. Oh, what a moment in time. I loved that
that's
show.
That's a throwback name right there. I haven't heard of that show in a long time. All right, what do we got, Brandon?
All right, your number is 1,013.
1,013.
Is it the combined total points of the top five leading scorers in these NBA playoffs so far? Or is it the highest priced ticket on Ticketmaster for the Portland Fire season opener on Saturday?
No way. Ooh. There's no way it's $1,013.
Ooh, that's a good one. I mean, how do you even calculate top five scorers? Who's played the most games? 1,000?
That stat's breaking my brain.
Give me a story.
About.
Give me
I'm
a story.
Stat.
I'm going to go story.
Stat.
Courtside seat.
Okay.
Center court, $1,000.
So we got stat and we got story.
Yes.
All right. Hold on.
Yes.
All right, so, yeah, 1,013 is the combined total points of Cade Cunningham, Tyrese Maxey, Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell, and Paolo Banchero.
How about that?
In the NBA playoffs right now. The highest priced ticket on Ticketmaster for the Portland Fire season opener on Saturday. Remember, Ashanti's performing at halftime, so the price might go up a little bit because of it.
It's a game and a concert.
Also playing Chicago.
Right. Is $1,662.85.
Wow.
And the seats are like right behind the scorer's table.
Oh.
So basically floor seats.
Yes.
So you're getting
the. Wait, is it at the scorer's table? Because there's a couple seats
like
you
right
can sit
behind
on
it.
The scorer's
right
table.
I think it's either at it or right behind it, but it's literally like
I've
right
always
on the floor.
Wanted to
Me
sit
too.
The scorer's table
I've
seats.
Always wanted to sit
having
in those
like
seats.
A little table. You can put your food down. Not to worry about somebody kicking your drink
well,
over.
There's like two to four seats that are there during Blazer games.
Yes.
And my brother-in-law and I always talk about going to that.
Yeah, pick the worst team of the year and buy the ticket to the game.
How about that?
When our guy Kiefer's in town next year, maybe that's an affordable ticket.
Do you scream at Ashanti to get a photo if you're sitting there?
Sure.
Does
yeah,
she
I mean,
stop
why not?
Or does she get the hell out of here?
Why not?
Does she stop and take a photo or get the hell out of here?
Michael Scott told me you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
You're not wrong.
Gotta take your shots.
That'll be fun kickoff this weekend, man.
It's gonna be really cool.
That, yeah.
It's great to have something in summer to go to the Moda Center for.
Without a doubt, man. My niece has gotten super into hoops, so I'm excited to take her to a game at some point. Like, it's just fun. It's another event to have that's close by. I'm not super close to Hillsborough, so I don't make it out to a ton of Hobbs games. I try and stumble on our pickle friends from time to time, but it doesn't happen that often throughout the course of the summer. I'm with you, dude. It's going to be a lot of fun. There you go. Statter Story every Wednesday now, a little bit later, but still the same greatness that it always has been. Let's wrap up the show. Put a bow on things coming up next. Get you set for your night in sports. I have a fun random story of would you want to buy anything in this category. We'll close it up on a Wednesday next. 105.1 FM The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So funny when you listen to the lyrics.
What the hell is on Joey's head? Why are my eyes so red?
Because your eye is a kite, man. Put down the weed. Couple games in the Stanley Cup playoffs and NBA playoffs. We'll get to that in a moment. How about this announcement a couple hours ago from Oregon State?
Yeah, Oregon State putting out some good news.
They have announced that the Wayne and Gladys Valley Foundation, what is that? I don't know. But they have a lot of money, and they have committed $24 million to the OSU Foundation to support revenue sharing for Oregon State student athletes.
Yeah.
And it's not just a gift, all Wayne and Gladys. They're coming with a challenge.
Yes.
And that challenge is in order to lock all this money. We're not just giving it to you for free. You got to donate some money on your own.
It's a great gift. Also, that's a lot of money to raise.
$24 million is a lot of money. And they're saying you better raise $24 million over the next 3 years. And if you do, this is a $48 million bust or boom, if you want, to support student athletes. So they want to raise $8 million annually over the next 3 years. And if they could do that, they unlock the entire gift and it becomes a $48 million war chest for them to work with. But just any announcement of anybody getting that level of donation when it's so desperately needed for athletics right now is a welcome sight for a place that has been known to financially struggle in those categories.
I mean, if they can secure $48 million in athlete funding,
that's like 2 years of a football roster.
For them, it's a lot more than that.
Yes,
but
it is.
For Oregon and Ohio State, yeah, that's maybe it's one season, depending on how desperate
like,
they are.
That's like 1 year of a college football and college basketball roster at Ohio State.
I'd say that's, you know, for Joiner yeah. and the football program, I would say that's like 5 years. Here you go. Changing. You got 5 years, build up your rosters. That's great. I hope they can get to $48 million. That'd be a huge win for OSU. And, hey, you know, they won last night at Hillsborough Stadium.
They did. They beat the Pilots, I saw.
Somebody
right?
finally beat the Pilots
it's
in state.
It's about damn time we put the Pilots back in their place. Stop letting them win.
How about the Ducks and Bees struggling?
Jesus,
the Pilots.
God, calm down, Pilots. So that was really welcome news. On that note, by the way, there was a random interview that I saw making the rounds recently. Mark Cuban, who I did not know until, you know, 8 months ago that he was an Indiana grad.
When you saw him on the field after they won the title, and you're like, really? Mark Cuban is an alum?
And I will give him credit for this, because if it would have been me in these shoes, I would have been crowing about this far sooner.
Why?
But he did an interview where he basically said they came to him for one reason and one reason only, and it was because they needed Fernando Mendoza.
It was the one thing they needed him
Fernando Mendoza was going to go elsewhere. He was a commodity in the market. And they basically said, we got this quarterback we really want. We don't have enough money for him. We need some help. And Mark Cuban was like, how much are you talking? They told him the amount. And he said, all right. And he donated the money that basically directly paid for Fernando Mendoza. And he went on to win the Heisman Trophy and be the number one pick in the draft.
I mean, can I ask a follow-up?
I was just surprised.
Why would you bark about it?
I would have been like, that's right, it's me. The entire season, if that was me.
If you're as rich as Mark Cuban, you need to people know.
Maybe I don't, but if it's me in my shoes, if I paid for an Oregon player and that Oregon player helps them win their first national championship, is the primary reason it happens? Are you kidding me?
But the better thing to do is to wait till you win the national championship, then be like, yeah, I funded that guy.
Barking all year, baby. Barking all year.
You're barking at 3-0.
Coy Parrish, you're welcome.
Coy Parrish.
Brought that safety over. That's a gopher. Not anymore. Now he's a duck. You're welcome, Duck Nation. Send me your flowers.
They beat Oklahoma State 69-3. I paid for that kickoff.
That was all me.
That was me.
That was all me, baby.
I think they could have done it without your donation.
Probably. We'll get to the night slate here in a moment. I did see this. These kind of stories always make me chuckle. So Nebraska's doing this where they announced they're doing a big stadium renovation, which, why wouldn't you spend your money on actually a winning roster instead of I don't know. That's just weird for me. Your stadium seems fine on the outside. I digress. But one of the things they're going to do when they renovate their stadium, they have, I don't know if you remember this from our time there, they have urinal troughs that people pee into.
It's the most uncomfortable I've ever been as a grown-up.
Like, you're just peeing into a bathtub.
I'd never seen that before.
No.
I'd never been in a situation where I'm looking another man in the eyes.
It's a wild
and
west.
Our wings are out and we're going.
Like, what is happening?
It was bizarre.
Very weird. They're selling the troughs, and you know that people are going to buy them.
Well, speaking of buying stuff,
you know they're going to buy them.
Would you rather buy the trough at an old Lincoln football stadium or spend 25 G's?
That's what I was going to get to.
On 400 square feet of carpet.
So Boise State's redoing their turf field this offseason, and somebody paid $25,000 for 400 square feet of it. Now, follow
up. It's a donation, really, but yeah.
I have a hard time with square feet of, like, how big of the chunk of the field are we talking?
Well, 400 square, it's a standard bedroom. So think of like a standard bedroom. And
would that cover like the logo? Is that like the center field logo? Would
that
be about, is that more than the logo?
A little more than that,
so I could get the logo. And if I'm paying 25 grand, I want the midfield logo. And if you gave me that and I had Mark Cuban money, I'd do it in a heartbeat. Like, if Autzen put in new turf and I could buy the O.
Okay, of these three things, what would you rather buy?
From the middle of the field?
The trough at your football stadium?
No, thank you. There's nothing cool
about
that.
That is so disgusting.
It's just gross.
What do you need that for?
Serves no purpose.
The
turf you could use. You put that in your house, man cave, backyard.
Dude, if you're a Boise fan and you have a man cave and
that's
it's just
sick.
Decked out in blue turf.
That's your rug or your carpet now? Are you kidding me?
That's pretty awesome.
That's badass.
Or the RoboDuck outfit that got bought by a 20-year-old. Did you see that story?
A 20-year-old bought the RoboDuck outfit?
He's like 26, but yeah.
How much did it cost?
I didn't see the price.
Okay.
I saw it on Oregon Live, and I'm like,
a story on it.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
And he bought it from some collector who had it for years, and he was from the Duck Athletic Fund, and he sold it to him.
There was another guy who recently, I can't remember the name of the company, but I saw it in the news where he bought a big Blazer. He's like opening a basketball retail store of some
kind.
No,
it's already open.
It's okay, but he bought a big basketball that used to be like a part of the Moda Center or something.
No, it used to be the
where was it?
Blazers
it
was, on hold on.
Blazers on Broadway? Is
on
that what
Broadway.
It is? Blazers on Broadway.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was sitting in some guy's front yard in Estacada. And he found it on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
Like, how do we not buy that thing back and put it somewhere around the stadium?
So have you been to Back to the Basket?
I have not been to Back to the Basket.
Yeah, it's over in the Hawthorne district.
Okay.
I went there a couple of weeks ago. Cool store.
What are we? Is it like retro basketball gear? What are we selling?
Yeah, okay. That's all it is. Bunch of retro posters or bobbleheads or shoes.
I'm in on that. That's cool.
T-shirts that are like they had old school Blazer playoff T-shirts.
That's pretty cool.
They'd have new ones too because nobody wants to keep them. We complain about it, but we'd get rid of them in a minute.
That is true.
But that's the store that bought the Blazers on Broadway ball. So of those four options,
I think I would take the turf. Turf number one. It's going to be the most expensive.
Could you imagine owning RoboDuck outfit and just showing up on Halloween show
that
and
would
doing
be really,
it?
That would be really
You
funny.
Don't tell me. You don't tell Swag.
I just bought it, low-key.
You just walk in with the RoboDuck outfit.
I would do the show and not say anything. I wouldn't even say a word. Just let people react all day on YouTube, but radio audience wouldn't know.
Well, we still have to do that.
I know.
A different way.
In a different way,
but
sure.
You coming onto the show in an egg on Halloween and bursting out of the egg into your RoboDuck outfit. I could never top that. It'd be the greatest Halloween show ever.
It would be an unbelievable. I'm trying to find how much the RoboDuck sold for, because that would be really funny. Outside of the show bit.
I don't think the Oregonian article has it.
It didn't have the price. Maybe they didn't want to say.
Yeah.
Outside of the show bit, I just don't know what I would do with it. Like, it'd be a funny thing to have around the house. Do I have to buy a mannequin now from my man cave to put it in a mannequin? Like, do I just leave it in a closet?
Let's make our poll question of the day since we haven't done one
yes,
yet.
Yes, that's a great idea. We'll put that up. What would you rather have? A piece of turf from your team?
Of these four items.
Yes, what's the coolest? So we'll throw it out. Neighborhood Restaurant Group brings you the fan poll question on X. Every day, dinner tonight at one of their five locations. San Diego's Big's Chicken, Reverend's Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, and Laurelhurst Market. We'll throw that up at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. Tonight, I locked in my dog bet.
I did $2 on money line bets.
That's what I did, and then I did larger on point spread.
Pays me $27.
So we're rooting for the T-Wolves, and we're rooting for the Sixers tonight. Enjoy the hockey. We get game one, second round, Canadian Sabres. Should be a lot of fun in Buffalo. And then, unfortunately, we have to see Anaheim's uniforms again on television, so that sucks. Good luck to your Braves today.
Thank you.
Hopefully, they'll lose their first series of the year.
That would be devastating.
Because Mariner fans will not let you hear the end of it.
And they deserve that.
And they would. So we'll see how that plays out. If you missed it earlier today, Bobby Marks was awesome for about 20 minutes, talking Blazer offseason, the
not likely chance of relocating, Tom Dundon's ownership, all of that. Go check it out, 1051thefan.com. Check it out on the YouTubes as well. We'll tweet it out here as soon as we're done. Thanks for being a part of our Wednesday, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The Firm of Harrison Meringue is next. This is from the 1051 FM The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.